Amen. A lot of good wisdom there. Of course, if it comes from the Lord, we know it's good wisdom, don't we? Praise the Lord. Well, for those who are following the chronological Bible, this is the time of year we're in the last part of Isaiah, some of the richest scripture in all the Bible. Powerful prophecies the Lord spoke by His Spirit in a dark time. You know, Brother Doug was talking about it being a dark time. Well, it was a dark time then. You remember how God had raised up the kingdom, had fulfilled His promises, had enabled David to finish conquering all of the territory that had been promised all the way back in Abraham's day, and then consolidated the kingdom, handed it off to Solomon, and for one brief glorious period, Solomon was the greatest king probably that the world has ever known. Rich, time of peace and prosperity, and a witness to the world of who God was. And then things started going south, didn't they? And after Solomon left the throne and passed off the scene, we have the split of the kingdom, rebellion of 10 tribes that said, we're not going to follow David's house anymore. We're going off and we're going to do our own thing. And they never, ever served God after that. It was entirely downhill, and immediately built heathen gods, made heathen gods, and it just never again served God. And eventually, in fact, by Isaiah's time, they were actually dispersed. The entire kingdom was literally broken up. Groups of people were scattered throughout the empire of Assyria, and others were brought in to replace them. So it was gone. Judah was the southern kingdom, the two tribes that stuck together, and they had a mixed bag. They had some terrible kings, and they had some that were pretty good in varying degrees. And Isaiah lived during a time when the general trend was not good, but there were some good kings like Hezekiah. And so there was a prophecy. There was a spirit of prophecy that enabled him to speak God's words in a time of great darkness. You know, Brother Doug spoke about the darkness that's in our world today, and there were a lot of things going on then that are pretty picturesque of what's going on today. They're a picture. You actually had kings like Hezekiah that served the Lord, but you had others right bumped up against his reign that actually sacrificed their children to a heathen god. Can you imagine a king supposedly representing God in Jerusalem, taking his young child, over to a heathen, to a cliff, and offering that child, sacrificing that child to a heathen deity, trying to gain favor with that false god? That's what was going on. Can you imagine? Kind of sounds familiar, though, doesn't it? Sounds like our modern world. We've got a world that is listening to the darkness of this world. But one thing that God makes plain everywhere, that He always preserved a remnant, didn't He? A remnant is a few out of the whole that literally continued to serve God. You remember how Isaiah begins? Unless the Lord had preserved a very small remnant, what would have been the consequence? You'd have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. What does that mean? What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They reached a point where there was no going back and there was nothing left but destruction. That's where this world is headed. Do you understand that? Everybody here understand where we're at in history? There is judgment coming, but God has a remnant. And so the word that Isaiah spoke was twofold. Number one, he often talked about the conditions. And he pointed out how the people were going the wrong way. They had a form, but they didn't have anything in their hearts. Their hearts were far from them. Many scriptures you recall from throughout Isaiah, and you see the condition of the true hearts of the people was not good. But yet, interspersed, especially from chapters 40 on, you see these powerful prophecies that were meant to encourage the remnant who were standing there trying to navigate the world that they were living in. How in the world can I continue to believe in God? Look what my neighbors are doing. They got idols in their house. Look what the king just did. Look at the destruction that's happened in this place and that. Look at all the things that are wrong. And here I am trying to be faithful. And God was sending a word to accomplish several things. One of them was to encourage his people, saying, yes, things are bad, but don't worry, I've got a plan and things are going to be awesome. And it's not going to be just about for you and to try to make Israel, the natural Israel, something great. This kingdom is going to go to the ends of the world. I'm going to be with you. And there's one coming that is called of me, and he's going to lay down his life for the sins of the world. We've sung about that this morning. Praise God. I'm going to take care of all of this darkness you see, and I'm going to bring forth a people who will be faithful to me. And their destiny is not just for earthly greatness. Their destiny is everlasting. Yes. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. You got that prophecy there in Isaiah. Toward the end. I mean, all these things are there. God was, and it's like we've talked about many times, God's word is creative. So when God spoke these words through Isaiah, he was literally setting something in motion. It's like pushing a button. I'm going to start something. You know, we know about starting a machine because there's power engaged to do something. Well, this was doing something. It just wasn't right then, but oh, something was launched. And it was going to land exactly on God's schedule. Praise God. That applies to us too, doesn't it? Yeah, we're standing in a world that is absolutely making the choice to go the wrong way. They're literally closing their ears, refusing to hear what God says, walking in the darkness Doug was describing there from 1 Thessalonians. And God has called a people out of that to listen to him. And so, I don't know, I can't say I felt any icicles running up and down my spine concerning this morning, but, you know, many times we're not called to that kind of experience. We're not walking by the feelings that we get. We're walking by faith. And my mind was drawn back, and it just kept being drawn to Isaiah 55, a very familiar passage of Scripture. And this was a word that I see having two main areas of application. Always when God's word comes, on the one hand, it's to encourage God's people and to tell them what is true and give them a true picture, a true knowledge, and the life and the power that goes with that knowledge. See, I don't need just more better information. I need power. I need something that will power this machine, if you will, to literally do what Doug was talking about. Because it's one thing for God to tell me what to do. It's another thing for me to be able to do it. And I need God. So on the one hand, this was a word of encouragement to God's people. On the other hand, it was a call. See, think about the patience of God. Think about what we read and hear in the news every day, the things that are going on in this crazy world. It's insane. Why would God put up with such a thing? God is allowing men to make their choice, but there are still those that he cares about. He cares about all of them, but there are those that he knows can still be reached, and that's what his focus is on. And as long as there's a heart that can be reached, God's going to keep reaching. And that's what I want us to see. It's not just the technicalities of what he says here, but it's the heart that goes behind it. Here's a God looking at this condition of the people, and there's a king goes out and sacrifices his baby trying to get the favor of a heathen god, and God is still reaching out because there are a people who will hear and listen. I want to be one of those people. Praise God. So anyway, he begins. Come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Now, I should think it would be obvious that the Lord is not talking about literal food that sustains these bodies, but rather we can gain a picture of what he's saying. Obviously, we live in a bodily existence, and these bodies that we have need sustenance, don't they? You go out and work every day. If you don't eat, you don't work. I mean, of course, if you don't work, you don't eat either. But there's a balance. I need something. There are nutrients that my body needs without which I cannot function. I've got to have the vitamins and the minerals and the various things that keeps this old body going. Now, we know that this is described by Paul as a tent. Now, some of you go camping. Last time I went camping, it was so the conditions were so ridiculous, we went home before breakfast and haven't been since. But anyway, be that as it may, it's a lot of fun, but it's a temporary place, isn't it? We have these structures that give us a little bit of shelter while we're out there. But they're not meant to live in, on and on. And that's the way our bodies are. Boy, we need that perspective, folks. Everything about this world is temporary. And you who are young and feeling your oats and you can do all this wonderful stuff, just wait. We were young once, and you get to where you realize, hey, these bodies are wearing out. It isn't going to last. And we see people come to the end of the way. But yet, while we're here, we need sustenance, don't we? So that's what he's playing off of. He's giving us an illustration. So when he's talking about being thirsty, he's not talking about going into a faucet or wherever, to a source of water, and drinking literal water. But there is another. See, we're not just physical beings. We are spiritual beings happening to live in these bodies temporarily. And that unseen being needs stuff. It needs sustenance. You know, Doug was talking about what the world is looking for, all that it seeks. We have a nature that we inherited from our first parents because they made a choice. They made a choice to say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to seek what I want. And ever since, the human race has been trying desperately to find satisfaction by following natural desires and seeking the things that this material world offers. And so, but here's the Lord reaching out saying, are you thirsty? Somehow, as I was thinking about this, you know, I was saying, Lord, everybody knows this stuff. This is just, you know, we've heard all this so many times. But I felt like the Lord was saying, there are a lot of people, and they have needs on the inside. We know about physical needs and you know, things of that sort, where you go to the doctor and all of that. But I'm talking about the kind that people can't see. And there's something inside that is struggling, that's hungry, that's thirsty. Am I the only one? No. Folks, that's just our nature. That's the nature of living in this world. And the Lord is reaching out to a people saying, I know where you live. I know what's going on around you in society. Are you thirsty? Is there something that your spirit needs that you're not able to get by yourself and out of your environment? I mean, you think about what the world is looking for and how it feels like it's going to achieve what it wants. Oh, God, the battles that are fought on the inside. Why can't I get people to like me? What about this? What about what they have and what they, you know? Oh, if I just won the lottery, oh, everything would just fall into place. I'd be so happy. I'd be at such peace. Do you think there's any source of peace in this world? I don't care what you have. There, God has put a God-sized hole in everybody's heart, and there will be nothing that will satisfy that except Him. We were made for Him. As it was the old quote, our souls are restless until they find their rest in you. And you know, the world will teach us its ways and we will be affected whether we realize it or not. We can get sidetracked. We can get so absorbed in I need this, I want that, why can't, you know, what about this situation? Oh, if I could change my situation, then I'd be happy. How long would that last? If we are trying to gain and to satisfy the longings, the urgings, whatever it is, by the things of this world, it ain't going to work. There's something else that we need, and that's what the Lord is trying to get them to see. You're thirsty. You need something. Something is just not quite right on the inside, and you think, if I do this, if I can fix that, if I can, then everything will be okay. No, it won't. It won't. Now, obviously, this is a word to people who don't know the Lord, and who are just trying to find what their place in the world. Why am I here? Who am I? What's this world about? What is the pathway to meaning and happiness? And the Lord's saying, come, I've got everything you need. You weren't made just to live your life here and die, and that's the end of it. I've got a purpose that goes way beyond that. I have everything you need. And just like our bodies, if my body didn't have what it needed to function, I mean, I have enough challenge getting out of bed in the morning sometimes, but if I didn't eat, I wouldn't be getting out of bed. If I didn't take in the nutrients and the things that sustain this, well, what is it that sustains the inside? That's the question. Because somebody, I tell you, I don't care how much money you make. If you made all the money in the world, do you actually think you would be happy? And you would find peace and joy. You know, you think of one of the greatest conquerors in all of history, Alexander the Great. As a young man, he left Greece and took a company of soldiers and all kinds of people, and he went from place to place, and he conquered the known world, spread Greek culture everywhere. That guy was still in his 30s when he ran out of places to conquer. What did he do? Oh, great, I finally accomplished my purpose. Everything is great. He wept. He cried. Why did he do that? Because there were no more worlds to conquer. His whole meaning had been this striving to fulfill this earthly desire. In other words, there was a thirst that even all that he did was not able to satisfy. And does this only affect the lost? This affects God's people. There are a lot of things that happen on the inside. There are desires, there's needs, there's things that we just, and there we are struggling and thirsty and wondering, how in the world can I handle this? How can I handle that? And the Lord has one word, and it's come. Think of what Jesus said. Come to me, all who are weary, in that case, all who are weary and burdened. There's this sense. And come implies that the Lord is saying, I'm here and you're there. You're in a place where I don't care what you do, you will never deal successfully with that thirst that's happening on the inside. You're in a place that I've allowed you to be in this place. I've allowed you to feel the need, and you're trying in your own wisdom, your own effort to try to fix it, and it ain't going to happen. I've got a different plan. And I feel like the Lord wants us to experience this more than we do, because this is not theory. You know, like Ben was saying this morning, we can talk about the theory of how salvation works and what God's done for us, but he wants us to literally have that. I need something to feed my spirit. Do you? I need something that can literally inject nourishment into that inside part that nobody else sees. And here he calls on us, for example, to do the things that Doug was talking about this morning. How do I do that? That's not in me to do that. I wasn't born with the ability to be that person. But it's not just some, okay, boom, I've got it. Is there any way that somebody here can just eat one magical meal And then on the strength of that, go the rest of your life and just do great things. Be a wonderful athlete. Be a great, you know, weightlifter or whatever. That's all you need is that one great meal. No, we got to have regular. We got to eat on a pretty regular basis, don't we? There's a cycle. It's kind of like that with the Lord, isn't it? So this calm is not just a one-time thing and then, hey, we got it. This is something where the Lord is saying every time that there's a need, there's something going on the inside, and you're feeling, oh God, I need something. Lord, I'm thirsty. What's help me through this circumstance that I'm facing? God, I need you. And what does he say? He says, come. You're over there trying to wrestle with the issues of your life. Come. Come. I have what you need. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, now this is one of the best parts. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Praise God. The Lord's not even saying, hey, come work for it. Come earn it. I wonder how many of God's children wrestle with this part of it. Okay, I'm in need. I even messed up. I'm in this place of thirst and hunger. My spirit needs something, but I just can't go right now. I've got to sort of earn my way back into his favor, and then maybe he'll help me. I'll tell you, aren't you glad we serve a God who knows where we're at? Knows our need, knows what we've got to have to nourish this inner person that he's put in here. And he doesn't say, come earn it. The price has been paid. The price for every need that exists in my heart and in my life was paid when they laid those stripes on my Savior. Every lie that I've ever told, every thought I've ever had that's been wrong and against him, there was a stripe that was laid on my Savior because of that. And he invites me to come. He says, look at what I did on the cross. I'm not asking you to come and fix yourself so I'll accept you. I'm asking you to come and let me feed your soul. I have what you need. You can try to feed yourself off of the things this world offers. It will never, ever take care of the need, will it? And I'm so thankful it's without money and without cost. And then he says, then why do you spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Obviously, again, he's not talking about physical food. He's talking about the striving of the human spirit for meaning and for something that will quiet this restlessness. Doesn't he say, the wicked are like the troubled sea which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, saith my God to the wicked. Of course, you say, well, that's not me. I'm not wicked. I'll tell you what. We have this idea in a human society that, you know, we know who wicked people are. They do really outwardly bad things. If we could see ourselves the way the Lord allowed Isaiah to see himself, being caught up and seeing the purity and the power of the Lord, all of a sudden he'd realize, I'm no different. Have you ever told a lie? You ever taken anything that wasn't yours? You ever had an angry thought, a lustful thought? And you can go on and on down the list of things that rule over this world. You ever had any of those things? Where did they come from? If you were judged by those things, by that standard, would you be innocent or guilty? I need a Savior. I need a Savior. Praise God. Praise God for the heart that knows my need and loves me anyway. And he loves you. He loves everyone here. I believe that's his heart that he wants you to get. Not the technicalities of what the Scripture says, but the heart that's behind it. The heart that looks at you right where you're at is aware of the needs that you have, not just in your body, but on the inside. He knows whether you're a struggling believer or someone who hasn't really come to know him yet. He cares about you, and he's done everything necessary to meet that need. There's life that he offers. Praise God. You know, we think about food even. There's more than I need than just simply chemicals. I mean, we think of substances, vitamins and minerals and all those kinds of things. But I'll tell you, it's the living substances of things that are in food, that are in good food. I need the life that's there. It imparts something to this body that this body needs. I need life, folks. Again, I don't need simply better information as to how to manage my own affairs. I don't need God to come and fix me so I can live my life on my terms. I need him to come and inject real life into my inner spirit. Because without it, I am a dying soul. There is no hope beyond the judgment. I'll tell you what, God is faithful. But anyway, so why do you spend money? You who are struggling and trying to find your way, why do you waste your effort and all the focus of your life on something that can never, ever scratch that itch that you've got on the inside? God has better for you and for me. And here's his voice crying out to a people, most of whom had turned away and were walking away from his love and his mercy. But he knew that there were a people. I believe there's people today. We're in an era. We're in a time when darkness is overtaking the world, but God is reaching out. There's a harvest. There's a people that he is gathering in this hour. I want to be one of those people. But if I'm going to navigate this, it's not just a matter of knowing what's going on and knowing what's right and wrong. I need life. I need to realize that I don't just need information. Like I say, I need to literally eat something. Just like my body needs food that I chew up and I swallow, I need something that I can receive into my inner being that will nourish me and change me and help me. Anybody here? Yeah. Well, that's what he offers. And he offers it to people who are in such a state where they don't even realize it. They're watching the world and watching it unfold and struggling. Their nature is crawling, is driving them to try to satisfy that thing. And the Lord says, come, I've got what you need. Stop trying to find it some other way. Come to me. So then he adds a dimension to that. Come is wonderful, is one thing. But it's interesting what he says after that. And I think this actually captures the Hebrew pretty well. Listen, listen, because the word is there twice. You remember the message we had several years ago on peace, peace? Well, this is listen, listen. The Lord just doesn't say listen. He says, listen, listen. I want to get your attention. And you know the difference between listening and hearing, right? I could hear something. But to actually benefit from it, I need to listen to it and take it in and agree with it and so that it becomes a part of me. I mean, you could go to the best buffet in the world. If all you did was to go out and sniff it and maybe even taste it and admire it, that wouldn't do you much good, would it? But God wants us to not only come to him, but realize he's got something he wants to give to us that will sustain us. Now remember the word we have so often quoted where the Lord was trying to teach the people, man doesn't only live by bread. Yes, you've got to have something to sustain your body. That's not what, you need more than that. What do you need besides that? Every word that proceeds, present tense, out of the mouth of God. I've got to have something. I've got to have God speak to me, basically. And it's not some magical experience, but there is a way that God has of communicating with a willing heart. And listen means, I got my ears. I'm stretching out my ears. It's almost like you hear a whisper, somebody whispering, you don't quite get it, and you want to lean forward, make sure you get it. This is God saying, I'm looking for a people who are so desiring me, so aware of their need of me, that they are literally putting forth a, they're making a choice. They're making a deliberate choice to say, God, I need to hear you. I need what you're telling me, and I want what you're telling me. I agree with it even before I know what it is. Ooh, that takes a heap of grace, doesn't it? Because we are so self-willed, so self-reliant. And God wants us to come to that place where we realize, you haven't got what it takes, not for my purposes, but I do, and I love you, and I care about you. And I'm going to tell you the truth, even when it hurts. But I'm going to tell you what will heal you. You know, I'm talking about this, the needs that exist, the thirst. How many people are, we've talked about this before, how many people are nursing wounds on the inside? How many people are struggling in certain areas, and then you come in with a smile and everything's just wonderful and fine. But inside there are needs. There are things you haven't been able to get over. Things you're struggling. Oh, how is this going to work out? I'm dealing with this. What am I? God wants to do something about that. He doesn't get any pleasure out of seeing people struggle. He wants us to be able to bring every burden. Cast all your care upon where? Upon Him. Why? Because He cares. That's what you get out of these awesome passages in the Old Testament where the Lord is speaking through the prophet to people who are struggling. How do I? What's going on? I don't get this. Think of the promises to Abraham. Where are we at? What's going on? And he'll say, don't worry. You come to me, I'll give you what you need to sustain you, but also don't worry because something amazing is coming. I'm still in charge. So here it is. Listen. Listen to me. Is listening to God in the sense that he's talking about here, is that something you really want? Do you really want him to talk to you? You know, I think every one of us has times in our lives when the Lord's putting his finger on something. And it's hard for us to say, yes, Lord, I'm willing. But have you ever found yourself in a place where saying, Lord, I'm struggling with my will, but I'm willing to be made willing. I need you to inject something, infuse something into my spirit that changes the way I see the situation, whatever it is, that enables me to be willing. I want to do what you want, Lord, and I'm struggling right now. That's normal. To have times like that. Don't you be dismayed. God sees that. This whole passage is addressed to the one who's thirsty. These are things that make us thirsty. There he is, reaching out. Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good. I've got something for you that'll sustain your spirit if you'll just listen. Okay? And you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. So you got the whole package there. Come, listen, hear. Open your heart. Folks, there are so many times when what we need, yeah, we need to read this word, but I need God to take this word and breathe life into me. Breathe life into that word. Because the word is meant to be an expression of life. It's not dead food that I need. I mean, you can cook something down to the point where it doesn't really do you much good. But I need the food that still has life in it. Well, when he speaks, it's not just words, is it? He's literally imparting divine life into our spirits. That's what I need. Praise God. Do you know he's willing to do that right now? Do you know everyone who's in this place of hunger and struggling can go to him and say, Lord, I need to eat something. I'm hungry. I need you to feed me. I need you to help me, to give me something to drink. Lord, I'm looking to you. You ever had those times when God would speak a word, a very simple word sometimes, and it would just minister peace and minister rest. It wasn't just the thought, it was the life. Something touched your spirit. Something changed the way you were on the inside. This is just what we don't see is probably more real than this what we do see. And that's what God is after, is to change this. Because this outward person is going to, this body is going to be gone. But there's a life on the inside that's going to live on. Praise God. That's what he wants to sustain. Think of the heart of God that was just reaching out with such plain language to the people. And then the promise. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. There's an agreement. There's a contract, if you will, that God is going to is making with his people. It's not something where we have to earn our way in. He invites us to come. He's looking for the willing. He's building a kingdom of the willing. My faithful love promised to David. He goes back to the man after God's own heart that God was so real to. David didn't serve God because he thought of him as a monarch somewhere giving rules. He came to know him as a faithful shepherd. Someone that I can walk with. Someone who goes with me, meets my needs on the inside. I love him. I know him. I want to be around him. I want to spend time with him because that's where I get my strength. That's what enables me to live and to be a servant of God in this dark world. I can't do it, but I need to spend time with him. I need to go to him. I need to listen to him. My faithful love promised to David, see, I have made him, David, a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the people. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Anybody here feel like you're endowed with splendor? We don't see it right now. But if we could see what the Lord is doing in the hearts of those who have given their hearts to him, one day, this is going to be all gone. And the light of what he has done, he'll get every bit of the glory. It doesn't say the saints will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Only God can turn this dark human spirit into something that is brilliant with light. It's God's life that can change a heart. It can meet you right where you're at, that cares about you, that has done everything to take care of everything that would hinder you. If we just come and give ourselves to him and believe him and trust him. Praise God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You got three things, I guess, that kind of jumped out at me as I was thinking about this passage. The Lord says, come. He says, listen. And seek. Maybe that's a title, I don't know. Come, listen, seek. But seek the Lord while he may be found. Now I know in the context here, the Lord is a warning. I will not always be available. There are things that are unfolding and people are making choices that in some cases reach a point where there is no going back. People have absolutely hardened their hearts to the point where they are unable to hear me anymore. Okay? We're getting to that place for so many people of the world. The opportunity will not always be there. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So it's a warning to somebody who doesn't know the Lord. It's a loving warning. It's not a threat, but it's a warning of reality. But I also thought about it in this sense. Sometimes we're looking for God's voice and it just seems like he's silent. And what do we do when we're in those times and we're in need and we're reaching out to him? And like David, we say, how long, O Lord? You know, part of faith, part of walking with him is being able to say, God, I know that you are still true. I know that you are faithful. Isn't that what he just said? My faithful love. And isn't that how David reacted when he went through those times? He said, how long, O Lord? I wish you'd come and answer my prayer, but I'm still going to trust you. This is what God is building in his children. And one of the warnings that he gives that we've often referred to, and I probably have referred to it recently, I don't remember specifically. But anyway, over in chapter 50, you remember the scripture that we used to hear Brother Thomas minister on so long. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant? So this is somebody who wants to serve the Lord. They have a listening heart, okay? Let him, but you don't have any light. You're in a situation where you don't know what to do next. You don't know how to handle a situation. You feel a need. What do I do? You trust in the name of the Lord. You stay upon your God. You stay put and you say, Lord, until you give me light, I ain't going anywhere. I'm looking to you because you are faithful. But what that does to somebody who really doesn't believe and is just trying to use God to help a better life here, what that does is put them in a position where they're going to say, okay, I tried this and it's not working. So, what I'm going to do, I've got to figure this out. After all, God helps those who help themselves. How many of you know that's not in the Bible? But anyway, then they go ahead and so they say, I've got to work it out. What happens when somebody in a spirit of self-will tries to work these things out? It's not going to wind up good. You're going to lie down in sorrow. You kindle your own fire. I've got to make some light so I can see what to do. That's what the world is doing, folks. This world is going to perish, seeking its own ends and its own will. But God is raising up a people who will walk with him. We mentioned last week about the Good Shepherd. He not only he is the door into a place where he cares for us and watches over us. He goes forth, as David indicated, and he leads us into beside still waters to the pastures that are good. This is the kind of Lord we're called to serve. He's a good shepherd. Praise God. Praise God. So what a promise that's implied in this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. So God is looking for a people who will come, who will listen, that is, agree with him, who will seek him, will always be fixed on serving the Lord and realizing what I need in my inner being is him. It's his life, and he imparts that to me through his word. So what does he go on and say? Well, he says, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. That alone tells you that when he says come and eat without any cost, he's not saying, I'm offering myself to you to fix up everything that's wrong so you can live your life. That's not what he's saying. He's calling on people to turn away from their own way and let God nourish us so we can go his way. Okay? So obviously it's a call to leave the way the world is living. All right? And the unrighteous, their thoughts, let them turn to the Lord. And what? He will have mercy on them and to God, for he will freely pardon. I need mercy, don't you? There's no way I can come to God and say, God, I've done this, I've done that, I am this, I am that. I'm expecting favor from you. It doesn't work. I need mercy. But that's what he offers. Thank God. Thank God for mercy, that which I could never deserve. All right? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Praise God. Does it make sense to try to live by your ideas and how you think things ought to be? See, the Lord is constantly saying, look, I know what's going on. I know what's going to happen. I know all about you. I know everything that needs to be known. My voice is the one you need. You need to be listening to me. In the midst of this world, the world is going to be screaming in your ear, telling you it's this way or it's that way. This is what you ought to do. And the Lord says, just listen, be quiet. Be quiet in my presence and just come and listen. And I'll give you something that'll feed your soul and give you peace. Praise God. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Anybody want that this morning? The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Well, wouldn't that be a sight? But you get the sense. You ever walked out in nature and the Lord's been real to you, and it just seems like there's joy everywhere you look? I'll tell you, it's what's going on in here that matters. But I'll tell you, God can so fill us with His joy that it'll be just like this poetic language He uses here. I'd love to see the trees clap their hands, but anyway. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown. Who gets the glory out of this? He does, but He shares that with us. He shares Himself with us. For an everlasting sign that will endure forever. If you get any question about what everlasting means, He goes right on and says that will endure forever. That's what I want. But what I sense is the Lord wanting that for everybody here. If you're here and you don't know the Lord knows your need. I don't care how deep it is. He can meet that need if you just hand your life over to Him and put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross. He will absolutely change you from the inside out. He can give you a new heart. He can heal what's wrong. He can forgive the sins, whatever they are. He can meet the need of the heart. But for His people, I know from personal experience, I need the Lord more than I have Him. I go along and I get hungry. I feel needs on the inside that just aren't quite, I'm not quite there. Things aren't quite right. And the Lord wants me to reach up and go to Him. I mean, you think of what the scripture we so often quote out of Philippians, be anxious for nothing. That's just one way this human spirit gets out of kilter. What are we supposed to do? Let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace, with thanksgiving. See, there's some faith involved. Thank you, Lord, that this is the circumstance. Thank you that I need you, but thank you that you're there. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. I sense that God knows the burdens of your heart. He knows things that nobody else knows. What you're struggling with on the inside, and He wants you to come to Him. He has the power to speak a simple word to your spirit that will feed and meet that need. We know about our needs in the body, but we've got needs here too. We've got needs on the inside, and God longs to share Himself with you and with me every single day. May God give us the grace to discern His heart and reach out to Him and do what He says, to come, to listen, to seek, to do whatever it takes to have Him. And that same Lord has promised to bring us all the way through. He is faithful. The scripture that Doug read this morning, faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. That's the Lord we serve. That's the one I want to listen to. That's the only source of peace that will ever satisfy that thirst that's in the human spirit. The more we get out of kilter, the hungrier and thirstier we get on the inside. The nearer we come to the Lord, the more He can feed us and give us that which will sustain this inner man that we have so much need of. Well, just praise the Lord. There's nothing new that we've said this morning, but somehow I sense this was the need this morning. Was I wrong? Anybody need this? We need the Lord, and He is so loving and so faithful. Reach out to Him. Answer what He says here. He is faithful, and He will do it. To Him will be the glory. Thank God.